excited about this word tonight, and I really believe it's something that lots of us are, well, every human on the face of this earth is struggling with at some level or another. And I ministered on this about two months ago. I started off with Walking in the Spirit 1, and I shared a bit about that's where you want to be. If you read the scriptures, it say you can walk in the Spirit. It's a good place. It's a blessed place. It's a place of peace and joy and life. And then there's another place called flesh. And that's where things are challenging. That's where things struggle. That's where life doesn't work so as it should be working. And so you're welcome to download that message if you want to, about 2 weeks, 2 months ago, Walking in the Spirit 1. But now this evening, I want to share actually about some of the greatest obstacles, or the greatest obstacle, I believe, which causes us to move into a place that is really a challenging place, a struggling place, a place where you lose your peace, a place where you lose your joy, a place where you lose your passion for life. That obstacle, that's the thing that pulls us out of the Spirit and into a place of flesh. And some time ago, we were praying, and I saw this picture of a person walking on the ground and then coming to a body of water. And then this person started to walk on the water. That's what I saw. I saw them like with my mind's eye, in my imagination. I saw this person walking on the water, and I felt the God telling me, Holy Spirit saying to me, but that's walking in the Spirit. It is literally walking on water in a, well, not literally, a proverbial sense, walking on water. And that's basically where every step, everything that you do becomes a miracle. Think about this for a moment. If you walk on water, is there anything supernatural about your physical walking process? Not really. I mean, you're just doing the normal, everyday thing. You're just walking. But suddenly you're walking in another dimension. You're walking on another platform. You're walking on another level of life where I'm just doing my normal thing. I'm nothing special, yeah, but I'm walking on water. There's like the supernatural element that comes into our lives. And I believe what God is telling us is that that's where God wants us. He wants you and me to live in that place where every step is a miracle. And that when the baby's crying in the corner, that we can just block that out. It's not bothering any of us. You know, now that's walking on water. That's amazing. You just have a baby for 8 months. It doesn't bother you anymore. Wonderful. Okay, now if you're walking on water, somebody told this to me. I was asking after I ministered last time. I asked this person, so are you walking on water? How's it going? To say, no, I'm snorkeling, man. I am like, I'm like at the bottom of the ocean. You know, and I realize every now and again, that's what happened to us. You know you're supposed to be walking on water, but somehow it's not happening. You're snorkeling. You know, you're struggling. You're like, this isn't where I'm supposed to be. And so what is that greatest obstacle? What do you think? What is that thing that pulls you and me out of the Spirit? Well, it's fear. Plain and simple. Fear. Fear. And so I have had quite a few of these snorkeling times, looking at the bottom of the ocean, seeing how deep I can go. And there are like 1,000 reasons why you and I can say, this is making me afraid, or this is a challenge to me. And there's just one thing that I can maybe share. It's, you know, it's like getting a baby. It's amazing. It's probably the most stressful thing you can ever do in your life. Everything, you worry about everything. So we've had a baby now. He's now, 8.5 months old since 24 December. And it's just unbelievable how you can worry about this little thing. If he's not sleeping, you're worried. Is he sick? And now you wake up in the morning around 7 o'clock like, oh, I didn't hear him all night. Something's wrong. He's died. Oh no. So you storm into the room and you look and he's, hi, I'm still here. You know, you have to be a parent to experience this, but this is just just unbelievable. The amount of worry you can have on a daily basis about anything. If he falls off, you know, the one time I was doing my fatherly role of looking after the son. And so I just put him on the couch. Because he's not really moving. I put him nice there, everything nice. You know, and then I'm like going to the kitchen, getting a bottle for him. And then suddenly it's like, ah! And then the silence. And then, ah! And I'm like storming in there and he fell off the couch. Like, oh, and it's like a month old or something. So it's like, oh, I've wounded my child for life. You know, like brain damage or something. So you're like, oh, the whole day, like, oh, I can't believe I did that. That's so stupid, you know. But you're worrying about so many things. And we did a course last year about parenting. And some of the older parents told us that it gets worse. Baby is easy compared to teenager years, you know. So it's getting like worse and worse and worse. Okay, so if fear comes and knocks at our door, it can terrify you. This little baby thing can terrify you because it's like you get up from bed, he hasn't cried all night, you're walking to the room and you're seeing it in your mind's eye. Not good. You know, you're seeing it. You're seeing these pictures and this fear gripping your heart. Don't have any, you know, but I'm just using an example about the baby. But there's like 1,000 reasons, 1,000 things that we could see in our mind's eye that can grip us with fear on one level or another. Okay, so fear knocks at the door often and it tries to pull us, if you were walking in the Spirit, tries to pull you out of that place, in the place of struggling. Now, if you're in the Spirit, that's a place of rest. You've got peace in your heart. You've got strength for life. But when you're out of the Spirit, when you're in the flesh, when you're snorkeling, it's a place of restlessness, a place you can't sit still. You tense the whole time. You know, like when you're sitting in church, you know, you can see all the people fidgeting, you know, and so nobody's going to fidget tonight. Wonderful. Don't give yourself away, okay? But this thing really affects our lives. Every single person on the face of this earth, on some level or another, there's some form of fear coming to take us. Fear of death. Fear of not having money. Fear of not getting a job. Fear of being alone. Fear of getting sick. Fear of being hijacked. Fear of somebody stealing from you. Fear of a loved one dying. Fear, 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 fear. There's 1,000 reasons why we could be afraid. Should we be? Should we as Christians be terrified every day of our lives, especially in South Africa? Should we be terrified? Should we allow those things, the economy going down, should we allow that to influence us and make us terrified? Well, let's look at it. I want to, when I ministered the first message, but I used this piece of scripture in Matthew 14. Now, this is where Jesus was praying on the mountain and he sent out his disciples and said, guys, now you climb in the boat and you row over. And then they struggled right through the night until around 3 o'clock. They were still rowing. The wind was contrary to them. They were struggling. And then Jesus came walking on the water. Jesus came walking on the water. And it's just fascinating. If you read this passage of scripture, it's like this up and down, or down and up, you know, the fear and then we feel fine, and fear, anxiety, and then we feel fine again. So look at this, Matthew 14:24. It says the first bit there, verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them. Now he's walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, now you can just imagine, you've been struggling whole night. They say you're halfway on the sea. You've been struggling probably for about 9 hours, been rowing and it's not working and the sea is contrary and they're troubled and it's not fun. Now you can just imagine if you were tired that type of time of night, etc. And then it says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. You ever thought something was a ghost? A shadow walking, jumping to your bed, not wanting to, you know, what's under the bed type of thing. I don't know. Anyway, but they saw they thought it's a ghost, and they cried out for fear. Ah! Probably hanging off the one side of the boat, saying, you go, or something. They were crying out for, they cried out for fear, these sissies, you know. We wouldn't do that. Guy walking on the water, that wouldn't scare us. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, be courageous. It is I, do not be afraid. So he says, guys, don't be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So they were afraid, they were terrified. Now they say, it's Jesus. Now Peter says, Jesus, tell me to come. I want to walk on water as well. Anyway, so he gets out of the water and he's walking. When Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. How's that for a roller coaster ride? He was excited. It was Jesus. I'm going to walk on water. He's walking on the water. Yay. Yay. I'm walking. And then suddenly, he's afraid again. Terrified. And he begins to sink and he cries out, Lord, save me. Yes. Sounds like many of us. Up and down lies. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And then those who were in the boat came and they worshipped him, saying, you're truly the Son of God. You are the Son of God. You are amazing, Jesus. They worshipped him. Okay, so I want to pull that out, that piece of passage. And I wanted to share a few points about that. The effect of fear upon our lives. Okay, the first one. Fear affects our sight. Our eyesight. And it causes us to move out of a safe place. That's where they said, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. You see, what fear does is it puts a veil over our eyes and it causes us to become blind. You see, there are two things that happens when fear blinds you and me. On the one hand, we don't see God working. We don't see God working. We're not seeing God in our lives. We're terrified. Doesn't look good. That's the one. On the other hand, we become superstitious. Even as Christians, we become superstitious. We see things that aren't there. You know, you saw the devil in the closet. Or you saw this in the shadows. You know? Or for instance, what can easily happen, your wife, you at home, and so your husband is supposed to be back, say, at 9 o'clock. But he doesn't arrive at 9. And you phone him on his phone, and it's just voicemail. But he usually says when he's coming. And 9:30, phoning again, where is he? And then 10 o'clock, where is he? And so you freak out. It's the end of the world. He has died. He has been hijacked. This is a crisis. This is the end of our lives. Because you are so terrified that you assume the worst has happened. So fear affects our sight of how we look at life. It happened to the Israelites as well. For instance, when they, in Exodus, they were taken out into the desert, they became so suspicious of their leaders and of God that they were persuaded and they said, you only brought us out here to kill us. How about that? How about that? God, who loves them, brings them out to bless them, give them a good land. And what happens? They say, you bring us out to kill us. That's the power of fear. It affects our eyes. It affects the way we look at life. We become suspicious of people. We think the worst of them. And then when I was in primary school, I remember, I don't know if you've ever been there, but I mean, primary school, obviously, but been here where I'm talking about now, that I thought everybody was watching me. I had this suspicion. The whole world, they look as if they aren't, but when I'm past them, they're checking me. Everybody is checking me out. I was very self-focused, self-centered. I thought the whole world was about me. And everybody was looking at me. I was so self-focused. But that's just something interesting. I don't think that anymore. Now I'm checking out everybody else. Deuteronomy 28, verse 65 is verse 10 to 66. The effect of walking in a not a good place. Now, this is really scary. The effect of fear. You see how it works before we read that. If we're behind God, if God is like big God, if we're standing behind God, that's a place of obedience. That's a place where we walk according to His will. So you're in a safe place. God or Jesus is in front of you and He's taking on the war zone. I mean, there's a war going on, but you having a party here behind Jesus. You know, the arrows are coming, but it's hitting Him and going away. You're not experiencing anything of that struggle because you're positioned in a good place. Now, what happens is you are over there like doing your hop, skip thing, having life, praising God. Life is good. And then fear comes. You see, the enemy knows he can, through fear, he can push us out of the will of God. So he's like coming there into making you afraid. So like you go terrified and you run off to the left because you're so afraid. And so you move outside of the will of God. And suddenly the arrows can hit you. Suddenly life can hit you because you're not in that good place anymore. Now, if you look at this scripture, it reveals the curse of fear that happens when we move out of that safe place. There's a safe place and there's a not a safe place. There's a scripture that says, "You are my hiding place. You, God, you are my hiding place. I'm hiding in you." But when fear takes a hold of us, it pulls us out of that hiding place into a place where we're vulnerable. And then this happens. Look at this. Deuteronomy 28, verse 65. It says, and this is the curse of disobedience or walking out from that safe place. And among those nations, you shall find no rest. This is God's guarantee. If you walk out from the hiding place, you will find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes. You see, fear affects fear and a trembling heart, failing eyes, trembling heart goes together. And anguish of soul, your life shall hang in doubt before you. You don't know if you're going to make tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to make next week. Let's immigrate. Don't want to immigrate to the Aussies, sir. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night because you're out of the hiding place. You're not in a good place. You've moved out from that place. So you shall fear day and night. You have no assurance of life. No assurance of life. That's like a curse that comes and settles upon us. It's a terrible place to be. Many people are there. Day in, day out, being terrified on some level or another. You see, fear comes and he's like a master artist. He takes a paintbrush and he paints you your future. You shall die so. You shall go hungry so. Etc., etc. It paints you your future, and when you then take it, you're in trouble. Because then this thing, you move out of the hiding place. And then the torture starts. So when this whole thing about it's a ghost, it's something bad, it's actually Jesus, but it's a ghost. Three things I just want to highlight. On the one hand, fear will incapacitate you. It won't necessarily be on every level in your life, but certain areas. Certain areas. I remember I was studying engineering, and I was doing engineering week, test week. It's famous at some universities, okay? All the engineers without the personalities go and hide in the bibliothèque, the library. And I remember the one evening, I was thinking my second year, terrible course. The next day, you write 5 days. Every day you write a test. That evening, I was on page 100 at, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. I still had to do another 280 pages of this manual thing. And I was terrified. I was sitting there. I couldn't focus. I couldn't even move one page forward because I was so terrified of the consequences of not making this test tomorrow. Fear of failure. Fear of failure. It incapacitates you to focus. It incapacitates you to actually apply the gift that God has given to you. So the one is incapacitate. Another one, torment. By the way, I passed that one. Made it. torment. Ah, now this is where the devil comes in. He's a master. He's a torturer. He loves to torture people. How many people going to psychologists? How many people going to share about their fears? But he likes to keep you up at night and you can't sleep. And he's going out with a sweat and you just, the pictures are being painted again. Tormenting you, tormenting you, tormenting you. And a third one, flee. Cause you to flee or run away from God or the will of God. You just don't want to experience this torment. So you go the other way and you move out from the hiding place. Okay, so fear affects our sight. And I'm sharing these things because I want you to see it. If you don't see it in your own life, you can't deal with it. If it's hidden somewhere in your life, you can't actually deal with it. And especially with the Liberty course we're doing now for those guys doing it, we want to address these things in your life. Okay, so the second thing, the manifest presence of God gives us eyes of faith. It's when Jesus steps onto the scene and he says, guys, be of good cheer. It is I. It is I. We are terrified. It is I. That's all you can say, but that's more than enough. It is just God stepping onto the scene and saying, it is I. Be at peace. The manifest presence of God is the place where we can deal with our fear and we can actually have faith. We are called to see with the eyes of our hearts, not with our physical eyes. So to summarize this to you, fear pulls us out of the spirit. Faith puts us back into the presence of God, into the spirit. Fear pulls us out. Faith puts us back. Now look at this scripture. Isaiah 6. Verse 1-3. This is the prophet Isaiah. God gave him like an open vision. It was like he walked into heaven. He walked into heaven. And he saw a most amazing sight, which had a profound effect upon his life when he walked into the very presence of God. It says that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim like angels. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. And one cried to another and said these profound words. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I mean, imagine this, these powerful beings literally proclaiming the praise of God. Holy, holy, holy is this awesome God, high and lifted up, and just praising him and praising him. And then the last bit, the whole earth is full of his glory. Anybody been walking around the whole earth lately? Have you been seeing the whole earth is full of his glory? Probably not. Probably not. Probably you haven't seen that. It's amazing. I read this book about a guy and he asked God this question. He said, God, it doesn't look like the whole earth is full of your glory. What's going on here? And it's amazing. The Lord, he felt God speaking to his heart and he felt God telling him, if you dwell in my glory, then everything you see will be my glory. If you dwell in my glory, if you dwell in my presence, all that you will see will be my glory. In other words, if you are in the presence of God, you will look differently at life. You will see God at work. You will see potential. You will see opportunities. You will see things that are possible, that are able to happen because you're starting to look with the eyes of faith. So what is your positioning today? Are you in the presence of God? If you're walking out, are you full of that glory of God? And when you look at life, you're seeing the glory of God. Probably most of us aren't. And that's why I'm sharing this message. Because I believe God wants us to come to that place where we can see through the eyes of his glory. So how do we do this? Two or three things. Number one, I believe we need to praise God. praise him. Well, what is praise? Just my own definition. Praise would be to build a temple or an environment for God to come and fill. It's like those angels saying, holy, holy, holy. Or us saying, God, you are glorious. You are magnificent. You are almighty. We proclaim his praises with our mouths and with our hearts. And God looks from heaven and he sees, wow. Now that place, that environment looks like a place that I can inhabit. Because I am glorious. I am powerful. I am awesome. I am off the charts on every range, every level. So if you praise me for who I am, I'm going to fill that place. That's why times in church when we praise God, it's so powerful. If we click this, if we connect this, saying, God, I'm preparing an environment for you to come and fill. And so we need to do this at our homes, at our schools, at our workplaces. It's either that or the chains of fear overwhelming us. Psalm 34, it's not on the screen. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. At when? At all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. That's what it's saying. He's just saying, praise him, praise him. Despite your circumstances, despite the challenges facing you, lift your eyes and declare, my God is bigger than this. My God is awesome. My God is able. And then the next verse connects, brings the connection for me. It says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord. It's not on the screen, I think. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Okay, so who wants to be delivered from all their fears? Anybody in the house who likes fear, who likes to be terrified, anxious, worrying night and day? Nobody does. It's horrible. And I'm ministering this message and I want us to pray with some people afterwards and really trust, because God is in the business of setting us free from fear. But the question is, will we embrace that word and make it our own? Or will we succumb to the lies of the enemy? Okay, so that's the one, praise. The second one, worship. Now you've praised him. God's presence has come in to the place. And now you surrender. Surrender your heart. Because you're so overwhelmed by God's goodness. You're so overwhelmed by his grace. You're so overwhelmed by his love. You say, God, I can't handle this. God, I can't handle my business. I can't handle this economy. God, in my own strength, I'm going to sink it. But God, I know you're bigger. And God, I surrender it to you. First, I praise him. First, I declare who he is, the creator of heaven and earth. And then I surrender it. I stop holding on to the anxiety. I stop holding on to the issue. And I surrender it. And I just get overwhelmed by his love. And I just find peace in him. So that's worship. Surrender it to God. If you hold on to it, you're going to worry. If you lay it down, you're going to find peace. Fear keeps us outside of the presence of God. Fear keeps us outside of the presence of God. There is a place prepared for you and me. A place of rest. A place of peace. A place of joy. A place of victory. A place where you deal with your insecurities because you're just overwhelmed by the one who loves you like no other one has ever loved you. I found this time and time again. I go into God's presence in a certain sense, full of worry, full of anxiety, full of even self-hatred. But I leave his presence lighter. I leave his presence with this a new glimpse of how it feels about me. And it sets me free. Those chains fall from my shoulder. And I believe God is wanting to set us free. Let the chains fall from our shoulders. But you need to decide, am I going to keep on listening to the lies? It's never going to work. You've had this fear for your whole life. It's never going to change. You know, the devil even rhymes sometimes, you know. But you must say, no, this is not the will of God for my life. I'm a living testimony of this. 10 years ago, I was a shocker, really. I mean, I was so confused, so insecure, so terrified with fear, even during the last 10 years. But I found that if I continue pressing into God, seeking Him, finding my hiding place, He sets me free. Don't settle for something that has not been your destiny from God. Don't allow the devil to be the one who determines your life. Don't allow that. It's not necessary. It's your choice to say no more. Draw a line in the sand and say no more. Can you say that? No more. No more. Sometimes you speak to the devil. No more. I'm getting out. Hebrews 10. Verse 35 to 39, New Living Translation. So do not throw away this confident trust. Ah, it's beautiful. Do not throw away this confident trust. Not just trust, worshiping like, you know, just softy something. Confident trust, like a man would trust his life. Somebody that would be climbing ropes, climbing a mountain. He put his life trust in that rope. God is saying we should do the same. Confident trust. Remember the great reward it brings you. Great reward. What is the great reward? Peace, joy, rest, life in abundance, so that you will continue to do God's will. Because if you lose your confident trust, fear sets in and you run away from the will of God because you just can't imagine going there. And then it says, and my righteous ones will live by faith. Can you say that? Live by faith. Live by faith. Now, what on earth is that? I've been meditating upon this the last while, and it's just really speaking to me. You see, living by faith is not living by your natural senses. Living by your natural senses says you're coming to your office, you find your cash flow, the numbers on your cash flow, and you say, oh, this is a crisis. And that determines your level of faith. You look at the economy and that determines your level of faith. You live by your senses. You live by the world's report. You live by what people say. That's living by your physical senses. We should be living by our eternal senses. Something higher. Something above. Something beyond. A life of worry is not an abundant life. It is not an abundant life. God should be our source. God should be our anchor. So if you're in the presence of God, do you know what will happen? If you know the presence of God, if you know Him in praise, if you know Him in worship, if you've been able to surrender your heart to God, then something happens. Your eyes are changed. You start seeing potential. You start seeing hope. You start seeing things from a different perspective. But you need to be in His presence. Okay, and then just the next point, and this is a really important one. Number four, I'm jumping one. Fear neutralizes the gift of God in our lives. It pulls us out of the Spirit. When Peter was stepping out, he received God, the word of Jesus saying, come. And so he started to walk on water. He started to step out. Then suddenly, he saw that the wind was boisterous. He saw the waves. And he was afraid and he began to sink. Now, what does that mean? Question. Did anything change about Jesus from the time that he was standing there saying, come, and when Peter started to walk to Jesus on the water? Did anything change about Jesus during that time? He still said, come. Did anything change about the waves and the storm? Probably not. That didn't change either. So that nothing changed there. The waves didn't become bigger. So what changed? What changed when Peter started to step out on the water? What changed? His faith changed. He changed. You see, Jesus gave him a gift. Jesus said, come, walk on water. And in the same way, God gives you and me gifts. He gives you the gift to run a business. He gives you the gift to be a blessing to your family. He gives you a gift to do music. He gives you a gift to live life. He gives you the gift, and he said, come. Now, the moment you get intimidated, something happens. The moment you get afraid, something happens. The gifting, the grace of God, the gift of God upon your life to make this business works is canceled. It is neutralized. You're sitting I've experienced it, sitting in a meeting and you're intimidated. You will find your thoughts just disappearing from your mind. You will find nobody listening to you. You will find things not working anymore. You'll find that as if you, when you were confident, when you were bold, when you were stepping out in faith, it worked. It just worked. Everything worked. Things just worked. People listened. You were confident. You were bold. The moment you got intimidated, it was like there was a shift in the spirit. You started to sink. You started to sink. You started to sink. I've experienced this. This is really a scary place to be. You are neutralized. The gift God has given you has been neutralized. The blessing that you are to this world has been neutralized. You've been made powerless because you got afraid. Fear pulls us out of the spirit. Faith puts us back into the spirit. Fear pulls us out, pulls us down, causes you to sink. But faith puts us back into the spirit. You see, the enemy is a bully. He wants to intimidate you. He wants to tell you how bad you are, how useless you are, how insignificant you are, how clueless you are, how just, you're not worth it. That's what the enemy does. Bully. You get intimidated, you start believing the lie, and you're in trouble. And so you and I need endurance. This is what I've found. End of last year, I think I was here about October, September, I can't remember. But I flew up from Cape Town, and we had church here. I think it was 10 people. And I'm thinking, God, you must be kidding me. I'm coming full time to do this. Lord, there's nothing happening here. And I remember I was really terrified at that time when I walked out. And I just remember God, when I was on my knees, I went to pray with the Lord, and I prayed, and God said to me, I'm going to fill this place up. I'm going to fill this place up. I said, God, I must be crazy, but I hope so. You see, you must live by faith. If I wasn't living by faith, I would have run away. If I wasn't living by faith, I wouldn't have come back. If I wasn't living by faith, I couldn't preach and live and pray in the way that I had to. In the same way in every area of our lives. If you live by your senses, you will never achieve what God has called you to achieve. But if you live by faith, by your trust in God, you're overwhelmed by His greatness. It will pull you out of the muck, out of the mud, out of the issue, the place you are at. Your surroundings do not determine your future. But you need to believe it. You need to believe. You need to believe that I am a gift from God to this world. And you need to have confidence. I'm almost finished. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 to 7. It says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. God has not given you a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of timidity. I don't know what you are facing at this moment in your life, but I'm telling you, God is greater than that. He hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He's given you power, love, and self-discipline. So the Apostle Paul was speaking to Timothy, and I'm sure we've all been through this at some stage in our lives, but he's basically telling Timothy, Timothy, I know you're young, but that doesn't matter. Timothy, I know you are inexperienced, but that doesn't matter either. There is something greater. Through the laying on of my hands, God has placed a gift on the inside of you. And if you are intimidated, if you feel I'm not good enough, if you feel I'm ugly, if you feel nobody loves me, if you feel they're not going to talk to me, if you feel any of that nonsense, it will cut off the gift of God. Fan the gift, fan into flames. Don't be intimidated, Timothy. It doesn't matter if you this or that. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I tell you, there's a gift on the inside of you. And if you would receive that gift with faith, in other words, say, God, I believe you've placed something in me. And I believe that you have done this. This is a God thing. But God, more than that, I'm not just confident in what you've placed. I'm not just confident in you. I am confident in you giving this to me, not to Michael, not to anybody else, Steph, whoever, Jonathan. God, you've given me something. And I'm going to put out my faith that this that you've given to me for this time is more than good enough. It's more than good enough. This is a gift from above. And I'm going to believe it. I'm going to be confident. And I'm going to walk in it. Because if you don't, you're going to sink. If you don't, you're never going to lift up. You're never going to rise up. If you don't, you're never going to walk on water. It is by faith. The just shall live by faith. And so you need to proclaim the truth. You need to say it. I'm a blessing to God. God has called me. Can you say that? God has called me. God has called me. You see, God doesn't call us to small things. It might be small, but it's of eternal value. God calls us to significant things, although it might look small in the sight of people. And then just the last point. And I want you guys to get this. Fear is never legitimate in the context of anxiety and worry. It is never legitimate. Fear is based on lies. Fear is based on lies. And you need to address the lie with the truth of God. You need to address it. When Peter started to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus stretched out his hand. He grabbed him and he said, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? From Jesus' perspective, he was thinking, this doesn't make sense to me. He said, what does anxiety do? Anxiety magnifies your problems. It was this high wave. Anxiety makes the wave that high. Anxiety takes Jesus, who was that high, and makes him smaller. You can't even see Jesus behind the waves. There's just massive waves. Anxiety. Faith makes your problems smaller. Faith increases the size of God. And then just to end off, Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Be anxious for nothing. I really want to say, emphasize this. Okay, so for what do you need to be anxious for? Nothing. Any anxiety of any form. The only fear that is legitimate, there are two types of fear that's legitimate. Fear of God in terms of a godly respect for who God is, and a fear for snakes. If the cobra storms in the air and is there close near your feet, run. That's a godly fear. It's self-preservation. Run. Okay? But all other types of fear, it's not of God. It is not of God. And you need to make the decision that I will not submit my life to this. I will not succumb to this. I will not, because what happens is you become ineffective. you will not become who God has called you to be. You will be tormented. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus will catch you. Although you might be feeling like you're sinking, Jesus will catch you if you put your trust in Him. If you put your trust in Him. And so I want to point each one of us this evening to look to Jesus. To praise Him, to allow Him to become beyond what you previously believed He is to and can be. And then to surrender your challenges to Him and say, God, I don't know how to handle this. And then to just continue proclaiming the truth. I'm a blessing to this world. I'm a blessing to this world. I've been called to do something for my Savior because I love Him so much. You need to believe that. You need to be persuaded. You need to be persuaded. And I want to encourage us for this. And you need to proclaim it and endure it. It doesn't help if you believed last month. It doesn't help if you were excited last month about God. It doesn't count today. The question is, when you get up tomorrow, will you believe? Or will you become a puppet to your circumstances? Will you become a puppet to life? Or will you say, draw a line in the sand and saying, no more. Fear is not of God, and I will not receive it into my life. From this day onwards and every day of my life, I'm going to live by faith, not by how my boss treats me. Not by how many finances I have. Not about how my marriage is going or not going. You live by faith. How many men and women have to save their marriages because they were deciding to say, God, this looks horrible. I want out. But then they received the promise in their heart. They're saying, God, but I believe You're going to turn this around. You live by faith. You don't live by your emotions. You don't live by your feelings. You don't live by what you feel or see. You live by faith. Just stand, please. I want to pray for us. Father God, we honor You, Lord. Lord, for this profound little verse in the Bible that says, the just shall live by faith. Holy God, we pray, Lord, that You will come and set us, Your people, free from the power of fear. Lord, I pray that You will shine Your glorious light upon our hearts, that we will see it, that we will realize it for what it is. It's a lie. It's a lie, the insecurity. It's a lie. The fear of man is a lie. The fear of death is a lie. The fear is a lie. God, in the name of Jesus, I thank You, Lord, for Your plan. God, I thank You for Your word that is going forth this evening, Lord. I pray will stir in us, Lord God, a holy discontent with our current state. And to say, God, this is not what You've destined me to live like. Tormented, insecure, terrified about tomorrow. Holy God, we pray that You will come and stir in our hearts the truth of Your word. And with it, God, the resolve to say, from this day onwards, I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe. And I just feel in my heart, there's so many of us here, you've like a mountain standing in front of you. A mountain. You say, God, I don't know how. I don't know how I'm going to get over this. It seems impossible. But I believe in my heart, God is saying, trust in Me. Trust in the One who is above everything. Trust in the One that is above every mountain. Trust in the One who is greater, stronger, more able than anything else and anybody else. I can't help you, but Jesus can help you. He is alive, but the connection, maybe you've never experienced God coming through for you, but my question is, have you ever trusted in Him? Have you ever put your faith in Him? Have you stepped out on the water and trusted Him? Until you've done that, you can't say that you don't know Him. I know Him because I've stepped out and He has catched me. He's caught me. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we pray that the lies of the enemy will be exposed. And this evening, as every eye is closed, just for the moment, the believers just praying, I want to ask you, where are you at in your life? Where are you at? Yes, maybe the evening is going on really, really long. I am sorry. But my question is, what happens if you die tonight? Where are you going? What's happening to you? Do you have a living relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have a living relationship with Jesus Christ where you have surrendered your life to Him and so He's given you eternal life? So if you would die now, I mean, you laugh in the face of death because you're going to live on in eternity. The power of death has been broken for the believer. But have you surrendered your life to God? So I want to ask, if you're here this evening and you are unsure of where you are going after tonight, if you would die right now, you're not sure if you're going to go to heaven or to hell. You're unsure, but you want to make it right tonight. As every eye is closed, just raise your hand as a sign to God that you want to make right with the Lord. Thank you for those hands. If after you've raised your hand, you can drop it again. Anybody else, if you're unsure, you can tonight make sure by surrendering your life to the one who died for you on the cross. He died for you on the cross. He died for you on the cross for one reason. So that those sins that would pull you down into oblivion, into the pit of hell, He dealt with those pulling powers. He dealt with it. So that you can walk on the water to heaven. The path to heaven is a path of faith. It changed my life forever. And I'm pleading with you tonight. If you are unsure, make right with Him tonight. Anybody else, if you've not raised your hand and you know you need to, take this opportunity and raise your hand to the Lord and say, God, I want to make right with you tonight. Father, we bless you. Can I ask you, if you raised your hand, to come forward and just to come and stand here because we want to pray with you. About four people raised their hands. Just come, guys. Don't allow fear to hold you back. It's not worth it. Just come. Let's put our hands together for them. Praise God. There are another two people. You're welcome to join us. Okay, we're going to pray with them in a moment. Now I want to ask, if you feel that you're being tormented by fear on one level or another, and you want us to pray with you, just come and stand here in front of me, and we're going to trust the Lord for breakthrough in your life. Anxiety, worry, dictating how you live life. Can somebody just get us some oil out of the info box there, please? Sonica Dion. Oh, here it is. God, we bless your name. Anybody else? You're welcome to join us. We're going to be praying for some of these people. Just feel those that have mountains in your life. You're trusting the Lord for this mountain to move, for this breakthrough to come in your life. Would you just come and stand here on my left-hand side? So we can pray with you. Anybody, this is your opportunity to join us. Father, we bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just want us to pray with these young men. It takes guts to stand before a group of people and do this. I want to tell you that God sees it. It blesses the heart of God. It blesses the heart of God. So just want to just repeat after me. It's just a prayer of consecration. If all of us can maybe pray that. Just say, Father God, Lord, I thank you that you died on the cross for me. You paid the price for my sins so that I need not pay it myself. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I've missed the mark many a time. But God, this evening, I pray for that to change. Lord, I pray that you'll take my life. For I lay down my life by faith. Through this prayer, I bow the knee before the living God. And I surrender my life to you, Lord God. I give my life into your hands. And Lord, with that, all my fears, all my insecurities, all my worries, all the things tormenting me, I lay it down at your feet. And I say, God, just take it and make me whole. Heal me on the inside. Break the chains of bondage over my life. And set me free. Lord, I thank you that by faith I can declare tonight that I am now a believer in you. Through this prayer, through this confession, and through your grace, your help to follow you for the rest of my life, I am saved. I bless you for this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for relationship. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I just pray for these young men, Lord God, and we pray they do a mighty work in their lives, oh God. Do a mighty work in their lives, oh God. Do a mighty work, Lord Jesus, like only you can. The one who saves us on the inside, makes us new on the inside. Lord, we say, do that now in the name of Jesus. And confirm to their hearts. And give them the grace to follow you with everything within them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We bless you for this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, we praise you. And I want us now, for the rest of us here, I want us to agree in prayer with these precious people standing here. I want some people that can, some of the members of the church to come and to stand with them. To pray with them. But I first want us to pray a corporate prayer to trust God for breakthrough in their lives. The Bible says, "Where two agree on anything in my name, it shall be done for them." Often it's a process, but God can give us a breakthrough in a moment. We just need to trust in Him and follow Him with all our hearts. So I want us to pray a prayer of agreement. But before we do that, I want each one of us here in front and those standing there as well. I want you to pray in your own words. And I want you to say, I'm drawing a line here tonight. I don't care what the rest of the world is doing, but tonight I am making a turnaround. I am drawing a line in the sand. I am drawing a line in the spirit. And I'm speaking to the fear in my life. I'm speaking to the lies and I say, you will go in Jesus' name. Because the Word of God says, I've given you authority. That's what the Bible says. Jesus told the disciples, I gave you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So you can take authority in the name of Jesus over the issues in your life. So I want all of us to do that. And then I'm going to end off in a corporate prayer. And then we're just going to be praying individually with these people here. So I want everybody, close your eyes. And you pray, you say, you determine in your heart. Just pray softly on your breath. If you want to pray louder, you can pray louder. But you just, you say it. You speak it. Draw the line. Draw the line. I'm sure all of us need to do this. Draw the line. From this point onwards. From this point onwards. Thank you, Lord.